supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
Welcome to You Bet Your Garden from WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm your host, Mike McGrath. Coming up later in the show, we are always begging you not to top your trees. You've seen the evil that results when people cut the tops off of evergreens. But what if you've got other kinds of trees and there's a great view behind them? Is there any way to meet a middle ground? The answer is yes, and we will have the details after lots of your fascinating phone calls at 1-888-346-9499. Ralph, welcome to You Bet Your Garden.
Mike, thanks very much. I look forward to chatting with you and have enjoyed some of your recommendations.
Well, I thank you, Ralph. Where are you, sir?
I'm in Newtown Square, Pennsylvania.
What can we do for Ralph in Newtown Square?
Well, I was chatting with a friend, and we were talking about the issues of lavender. What's the best location to plant lavender in, and what kind of soil? Because I'm really not that technically oriented.
Well, I'll tell you, I hope to be much more technically oriented on this issue about a year from now, because this summer I'm supposed to lead a tour to Provence, and we're supposed to time it to get there while the famous lavender fields are in full bloom. And I'm looking forward to that and wondering just how amazing that smell is going to be. Now, I will tell you what I do know, and I'll tell you the only way I know it is thanks to a woman, Ellen Spector Platt. I would urge you to get Ellen's book because she has always been a lavender fiend and knows a lot about it. And, you know, it's kind of weird that I don't grow lavender because what it requires is the kind of stuff I like. Very much like my raspberries, lavender wants poor soil. It doesn't want to grow in rich soil. Overly rich soil and feeding is one of the two things that can kill raspberries. And I imagine it does the same thing with lavender, that it makes it just too lush and unhealthy. But the one thing that she did stress is that it does not need good drainage. It needs excellent drainage, which means where we are, we're really cursed with lousy clay soil. Is that your situation?
Oh, absolutely.
I improved my clay soil with a backhoe. And I just had somebody come by and took out everything that, from my point of view, was the wrong color, that light tan instead of that nice, dark, rich soil.
Mm-hmm.
Now, listeners who have sandy soil, that would be a real mitzvah here, because that sandy soil, of course, drains magnificently, and sand has no nutrients. So I would think that just adding the smallest amount of compost to sandy soil would do well. But for somebody like you, I would suggest picking an area where you want the lavender to grow. And you'd be looking for an area where at least the water doesn't pool up, kind of a high spot on your property.
Right.
And then you would excavate it as much as you could, getting rid of that clay soil. It's no benefit to anybody. Give it to a potter. And then in the planting hole, what I would recommend is getting one of these big bags of perlite. I mean, as big as we are, and they weigh about 4 pounds. And perlite, that's actually a natural mineral that's popped in big ovens. It's from volcanoes. It's a form of glass. So it's inert, it's organic, and it is the best soil lightener. So if you got rid of a lot of your clay and instead of mixing in a ton of compost, mixed in a whole lot of perlite, I think you would have an excellent bed for growing lavender. And the more sun, the more flowers you would get. And then the only other thing you have to do is pick your variety carefully. Lavender has been misnamed over the years. People will generally sell varieties based on designations of English, French, or Spanish. And one thing I learned in talking to Ellen is those designations are meaningless. You want to go by the scientific names. So that's something you'll want to research. We have a good article on lavender up at our website. Go to youbetyourgarden.org. Go to Garden Answers A to Z, go to L for lavender, and it'll give you the scientific names. You can buy plants or seed. You want to make sure you got the right style for what you want. But good drainage and poor nutrition is the answer. And, you know, in a year after I get back from this trip, you know, I expect I'm going to know a whole lot more. So you have to call back in a year.
Hands-on experience beats everything.
It always does, man. All right, good luck, Ralphsky.
Mike, thank you.
You got it. Take care.
Take care. Bye.
1-888-346-9499. Regina, welcome to You Bet Your Garden.
Hi.
Hello, Regina. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
And
thank
where?
You.
Thank you. Where is Regina fine?
I'm in Mantua, New Jersey.
All right, very good. What can we do for Regina in Mantua?
Well, I have a crepe myrtle tree,
mm-hmm.
and I've had it for about, I'd say, maybe 4 or 5 years. I've never trimmed it back. This year, I did not have any blossoms on it, and I'm just wondering whether I should have trimmed it or not. I don't know.
Well, the basic answer is yes, but it may not have given you blossoms. This has been an astonishing example of whether you want to call it warming or climate change or adaption, but you never saw crepe myrtles really north of Virginia not that long ago. And then they came marching up into Jersey and Pennsylvania. I've heard of some crepe myrtles in New York State. At their heart, these are southern plants, and they have survived outside of what was felt to be their range very well. But last year, I do not have to remind you how mean winter was, do I?
No.
That was a winter to remember. That was a winter to frighten your children with stories about in the future. You couldn't exaggerate that winter. So a lot of these plants that had been thriving outside their zones for sometimes a decade, things like rosemary that people in the cities or in warm spots had been growing outside, fig trees, crepe myrtles, hydrangeas, a lot of those plants suffered severe winter injury but did not die, except for the rosemary, which did die. So a lot of them, for instance, my hydrangeas finally greened up nicely, and I have beautiful green leaves, but I knew early on this season I wouldn't get no flowers off of them. Now, your crepe myrtle, how many plants do you have?
I just have the one.
And how tall is it now, though, Regina?
It's about 6 feet.
Excellent. So you got a dwarfing variety.
Yeah.
You really haven't done anything wrong. When you're in doubt about pruning, don't do it. That's always the smart money. I keep telling people there's no plants outside of fruit trees that really need to be pruned, so don't worry about it. Put the pruners down. The crepe myrtles are in like category B, where they bloom much better if they get a light pruning at the correct time of year, which is not now.
Oh.
Never prune any plant in the fall, because your crepe myrtle, like all the trees around it, like all your perennials, is going dormant now. And the last thing you want to do to a dormant tree or shrub is to wake it up before it gets fully dormant, make it grow in the cold weather. You really sap the energy of the plant. So what you want to do is wait until the springtime, until all threat of frost is past. And then you know when you see new green growth on your crepe myrtle, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
About 2 weeks after that, you want to, or you want to have somebody come in and just give it a haircut.
Okay.
You can take off a foot or two. What you want to do is every spring, about 2 weeks after it starts growing, You want to go out, and the classic answer is take off as much as it grew the year before.
Okay.
So if, let's say it's 6 feet, you want to bring it down to 4 or 5 feet.
Okay.
And you want to do that every year. And when you prune, first of all, it definitely improves the flowering that you'll get later that summer.
Okay.
Even if all you do is cut off an inch or two, it'll improve the flowering.
Okay.
But when you take off a foot or so, you're always keeping those flowers right at the correct eyesight, eye level for you. Mm-hmm. And you also keep the plant at a natural size, but a size that's easy for you to prune every spring.
Yeah.
So
sounds
don't
good.
Feel bad. A lot of plants did not bloom this year. If your plant didn't die, you're ahead of the game. And next year, be prepared just to shorten it by a foot in mid-spring.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
All right, Regina?
Thank you so much for the information. I really appreciate it. And I do listen to the program all the time.
Well, thank you very much. That was a great question. You helped a lot of people.
Thanks again. Bye now.
Bye-bye. Well, it's time for me to take a little break and announce that I will once again have the honor of hosting the Empty Bowl Benefit Dinner for the Homeless, to be held once again at the Lutheran Theological Seminary in Chestnut Hill, PA. This year's event takes place on Wednesday evening, November 19th, when you'll get to pick your own handmade bowl and eat all the soup you want while you're helping homeless families. Such a mitzvah! But don't go looking for all the details at the events section of our website just yet, because we'll be right back with the correct ways to slightly shorten your trees and lots more of your fabulous phone calls. I'm Mike McGrath, and you're listening to You Bet Your Garden from WHYY in Philadelphia.
You Bet Your Garden is made possible in part by Grand American Tours. In July of 2015, Mike McGrath will be hosting a Viking river cruise through the gardens of Provence. More at 800-423-0247 or grandamericantours.com.
Welcome back to You Bet Your Garden from WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm your host, Mike McGrath. Later on in the show, might there be an exception to my violently stated rule against topping of trees? Yes, if you're talking about establishing new leaders. What the heck is he talking about? You'll find out after lots more of your fascinating phone calls. At 1-888-346-9499. Kevin, welcome to You Bet Your Garden.
Hi, Mike.
Hello, Kev.
I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller, and I've got a problem with a weeping crabapple in Lancaster, South Carolina. Here's a little setup for what you need to know about my house. I built a house in the bottom of a hole, so I get everybody's water from across the street into my front yard, and I get everybody on my side of the streets into my front yard. But there is a ditch that is dug, so it transfers the water around the house. And I have this crab apple in my front yard probably about 3 feet away from the front door. It's in the grass section, but the grass never gets treated except for the grass clippings that go on the grass.
Okay.
And I planted it when it was about, I guess, a foot and a half, and it's now probably about 7 feet tall.
Okay.
And it's about 7 years old. And when I dug the hole, since we have this wonderful South Carolina clay, I mixed in compost and a little bit of sand.
And you know that that's wrong now.
Yeah, I know that's wrong.
Okay. So did it fall over?
Well, it's leaning, like it's not getting a good root structure. It is planted high, so it's not like the lollipop.
Good, good. Well, you know what you did, and is this the issue? Is this the question, right?
Right. I just need to know, basically, should I wait until springtime if I'm going to try to upright this thing and take care of it? How?
How much is it leaning?
It's probably leaning now at a 45-degree angle.
You know, these weeping trees, they're already leaning. Is it leaning into the weep or away from it?
It's leaning into the leaf.
Oh, so that makes it look twice as bad, really.
Yeah, and if you grab the trunk of it, you could rock it pretty easily out of the ground. So I'm just wondering if it's just too moist there or...
Yes, of course. I mean, do you have a moat around your house? You say the water goes around in a circle?
Yeah, the water does go around. It diverts off to the side, and then it goes through the woods there and then to another drainage culvert that goes out to the street.
Yeah, I think you should make it go entirely around your house and put down a drawbridge. I think you have a remarkable homeowner opportunity here that you're missing out on. Now, your winters are exceptionally mild.
Just last year, we got some snow that, you know, and it will freeze once in a while, but it does. It's usually cleared up by the next day.
But your deciduous trees turn color, drop their leaves a little later, but still in the same style and green up again in the spring?
Yes.
Okay. So the best time to do this, which for you is going to be a lot easier than a lot of other people, is in the dead of winter. I would say in January.
Okay.
Because by then, you're going to have the bare bones of the tree as much as you get. It'll have dropped all its leaves. You'll see the structure. You say it's 7 foot tall, right?
Correct.
Do you want to take this puppy out of the ground and plant it again?
Well, I don't know if I want to plant it, or I was thinking, actually, could I stake it up and then try to use, like, compost 6 inches away from the trunk and spread it out so it kind of helps the roots to travel that way?
No and yes. Staking of trees never ends well. But you've already described that you can rock this thing, which means that the soil is very loose. And, of course, you've created this island of loose soil that your roots are staying in. Again, especially if the soil around it is clay and saturated, they're going to stay out of that as much as they can. And what I would do, if I were you, midwinter, I would get a couple of guys over and have a rocking party and rock it gently. Take your time. I'm talking about over the course of an hour. Just slowly rock this thing back and forth. And then rather than stake it, I would try to mix in some of your lousy soil underneath it to try to stabilize it in its new position. You know, rock it back a little more to the other side than it was normally, if it ever looked normal. Get some regular dirt under there. Don't put any more loose soil or sand or anything like that. Get some clay from other part of your property and kind of prop it up and then tamp it down. And then, yes, put compost over the surface of that soil and keep the lawn 2 feet away. Pull up the grass around it and then compost 2 inches, 2 feet out, not touching the trunk. And then in the spring, after it blooms, start gently pruning it so that the shape becomes more acceptable to you, even if it is leaning. There's great tricks you can do with selective pruning here that will also lessen the image of a drunken tree falling onto the sidewalk.
Okay, I will try that. I appreciate your help.
That's my cowboy plan. Get working on that drawbridge. I want to see this. I think this is a great idea.
I'll send you a picture.
All right, Kev. Take care.
Thank you, Mike.
Bye-bye. Bye. 1-888-346-9499. Nanette, welcome to You Bet Your Garden.
Hello, Mike.
Hello, Nanette. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you for taking my call.
Well, thank you for making it. Where are you?
I live in Ambler, Pennsylvania, Upper Dublin Township.
And more importantly than that, right near Temple's School of Horticulture.
That's correct. Just hop, skip, and a jump.
Our famed Ambler campus, which is the first horticultural school founded by and for women.
Ooh.
What can we do for you near an historical horticultural school?
Early last spring, my husband and I were preparing for a large party in our backyard. We went to a nursery nearby, and we fell in love with a red-coned Norwegian spruce tree. It was in a very large wooden pot, which we were told would be fine to keep in for about a year or so. The tree was approximately 5 feet in the pot, obviously a little bit shorter. And it had a magnificent canopy of these beautiful red, pink cones.
Mm-hmm.
We watered it religiously and kept it, you know, with the fertilizer, which was in there, so we didn't actually do anything over the winter. And come next spring, this past spring, we noticed that there were, A, not too many cones, and B, the cones that were appeared to be mostly green with maybe a slight pinkish hue.
Now, are you saying you left this poor puppy in a box over the winter outside?
Yeah, this box is quite the box.
Nanette, this past winter was quite the winter.
Yes, it was.
You know,
perhaps we erred.
Yeah.
And this is why I'm calling. I want to know whether the red cones were spray painted on.
No.
Whether they will come back.
No. And you make me sad, Nanette. You make me miss my Norwegian spruce.
Why?
Sandy took her away.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yes, it was the structure in our backyard. It was about 80 feet, 90 feet tall when she fell. And one of the things I had noticed about it while it was still alive and in my yard was every couple of years, especially early in the spring, it would cone heavily. And the cones would be a brilliant red. So I am, believe me, no expert on this topic, but I can tell you already dodged a bullet. And you do intend to plant this thing in the ground, right?
Oh, it's already in the ground. It's in the ground for about a month now. No, 2 weeks now.
Okay. And
we're watering it religiously. And
the summer was very wet, but it has been a dry late summer, early fall, which is good. Watering newly established trees is always a great idea. Now, obviously, it's too late to ask these questions now, but I will anyway. Did you plant the tree nice and high? Do you see the root flare, or does it look like a lollipop?
I had the nursery come plant it, and I believe that I see a root flare. So you can see the beginning of the little stub.
Excellent.
And they left that portion of the rocks uncovered because it's surrounded by those, like, you know, little pebbles, and they left that with just earth, and then I have a hose running to it, and it'll do like maybe five drops an hour,
good.
Six drops an hour.
Mm-hmm. And what's with the rocks?
Oh, well, it's in a flower bed or a bush bed. So there
with rocks?
Are multiple, little brown stones.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. I would suggest a different mulching, weed preventing technique, because the stones are a bear. There's always weeds coming up.
So what would you suggest?
Just getting rid of the stones, putting down 2 inches of compost, and reapplying that every year or two.
Compost.
Yeah, because the stones over time are also changing the pH of your soil. They're making it more alkaline as they release some of their mineral content. And this tree has a lot of room to grow because, you know, these things get big.
Right. I don't think it has a tremendous amount of room, but we can certainly get rid of what's next to it and expand it that way if push comes to shove.
Yes. And to answer your basic question, the red cones are natural. They're not a constant. But as you noticed, when you get them, they'll be very dramatic. They may be based on a cycle, like most nut trees don't bear heavily every year, but every once in a while, like hickories, only every 5 or 7 years, but the ground will be covered with them. Same with your spruce. As long as it's healthy, look for new needle growth. That's the sign, because you see the new needle growth is a very brighter color than the old needles.
We had plenty of that.
Good.
But we didn't have many cones.
Well, that's not unusual. You're not going to get your special cones every year, and I don't think having it in a box was conducive to that. But the new needle growth is a sign that the thing is basically healthy. There's nothing you can do to influence the red color, but you will have your banner years where you'll get hundreds and hundreds of those red cones where it's a perfect self-decorated Christmas tree. The cones will not stay red throughout the season. As the season progresses, they gradually become a greener and browner.
Right. I guess my lesson is that plants, like people, don't like to be put in a box.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Nanette, good last
thank
word.
Thank you for taking my question.
Oh,
and,
thank you.
I enjoy listening to your show.
It's a great question. I love that tree. I miss my big baby.
Very good. I'll take a picture and send it to you. Take care.
Bye-bye. 1-888-346-9499. Civilian, welcome to You Bet Your Garden.
Hello, yes. I have a couple questions about persimmon trees.
Okay, first I have questions about your name. Did I come even close?
Yeah, pretty close. It's Villain with S in the front.
Oh, okay. Where are you?
Pleasantville, New Jersey. I recently purchased a house here, and I love fruit trees. So the easy stuff is like apples and peaches and all the rest of the trees that normally grows here.
Okay, first I have to stop you. Although apples and peaches, the trees do well, getting them to fruit and getting fruit of high quality is one of the hardest, most arduous jobs in all of gardening. Peaches and apples, you could not pick two more difficult things to grow, either conventionally or organically. They require a lot of physical care every year, and they're very time-consuming. Nobody would ever call them easy.
Oh, I'm sorry for the misconception, but right now I'm concentrating on survival.
Yes.
And I plant them, and my apples and peaches are surviving fine.
Okay, but now wait a minute. Let me stop you right there. How old are your trees?
3 years old.
And have you been pruning them every winter or spring?
No.
You got to start. Do they flower nicely for you?
Well, the peach did not have fruits, but the apple had a lot of fruits.
Right, but they were small and misshapen and everything.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. So you have to do the same thing to both trees. Sometime in the winter or early spring, prune them to improve the airflow. Just take out branches in crowded areas. Take out branches straight up.
Yeah.
And you have to remove a third of the branches. And then, after the flowers fall off, those little fruits that start forming, you have to pull off and throw away three-quarters of them. That's called thinning the fruits. And then you'll get full-size peaches and apples. Okay.
But my question was, I decided to plant some persimmon trees since I love that fruit.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
And since I couldn't find any persimmon trees around here, nobody sells them, I went all the way to North Virginia.
Right.
And I bought around 3 years old persimmon trees, 7 of them. There are different breeds, but I planted them in the middle of the summer, which was very bad for them, although keeping them in the pots would have been bad also.
No. My advice when you buy trees like this in the summertime is to keep them in pots where you can move them around, get them out of blistering sun, get them out of the rain if it's been raining for 3 or 4 days. But you did what you did, so where are we now?
Well, my trees, they don't grow new leaves, and the leaves are staying squashed. Like, they're not fully extended. It looks like they're dry.
Right, and did you plant them this summer?
Yes.
Yeah, they're just totally shocked, man. The sign of their health or lack of health will be next spring when they get to have rested over a normal winter and then start a normal cycle for themselves. I wouldn't worry about what they look like now. Are they in an area that drains well, and do they get a lot of sun?
Yes, they do, and it's mostly sand underneath the ground, so it's well drained.
And have you been feeding them anything?
Well, it's a soil that I buy from the Home Depot.
Oh, okay. That has a little bit of chemical fertilizer in it, I'm presuming.
Yeah, okay. Yes.
Sandy soil can be a real blessing, but what you need to do is not be adding more loose soil to the mixture. You want to mulch the trees every year, ideally in the spring, but you could even do it now with yard waste compost. You really need to improve the organic matter in that soil. It's great that you have sand because that drains well, but you need compost to add structure to the soil, and that will help the trees dramatically.
Just to pour it on top of it?
Correct. One-inch mulch is if you were mulching it with wood chips or some trash mulch, but instead you're putting down nice black compost.
Well, I had them mulched with that red mulch.
That will kill them.
Oh, so remove it.
Yes, right. Yes.
Perfect. Thank you again.
All right, good luck, sir.
Thanks.
Well, it's time for me to take a little break and remind all of yous that it is, recently was, or soon will be pledge drive time at your local public radio station. And while we do love our listeners, it is members who keep the lights and shows like this one on. But don't go looking for how you can show your support at your local station's website just yet, because we'll be right back with the secret to having shorter trees and lots more of your fabulous phone calls. I'm Mike McGrath, and you're listening to You Bet Your Garden from WHYY in Philadelphia.
You Bet Your Garden is made possible in part by Grand American Tours. In July of 2015, Mike McGrath will be hosting a Viking river cruise through the gardens of Provence. More at 800-423-0247 or grandamericantours.com.
Welcome back to You Bet Your Garden from WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm your host, Mike McGrath, and we're in the stretch now, cats and kittens, in just a few short minutes, as opposed to those agonizing long minutes. We'll get to the question of the week, how to lower the height of your tree safely and correctly. Yes, it can be done, but you got to do it right, and we'll tell you how to do it after a couple more of your fascinating phone calls. At 1-888-346-9499. Victoria, welcome to You Bet Your Garden.
Hi, how are you today?
I am doing fine, Victoria. How are you?
Good. Wondering what you can help me with.
Well, first you have to help me by telling me where you are.
I am in Wilmington, Delaware.
What can we do for Victoria in Wilmington?
I have a lilac that's about 4 to 5 feet. Mm-hmm. It's
Jordan or some kind of Middle Eastern named lilac. Okay. And I do have a pomegranate that's about 2.5 to 3 feet. They're both potted right now, but I'm selling my house and going to go travel.
Okay.
So I'm wondering if I should plant them in the ground. Should I give the pots to somebody else for safekeeping and love and care? Or I should find an alternative permanent home for them.
How long have you had the lilac?
4 years.
And what did you do with it last winter?
I'm in the urban area, so we have middle of the block, and it's very tucked in. I get blooms really late in. It doesn't really get any wind, so it's nice and protected where it's at right now.
So
it
you
basically
kept
stays in a pot.
You kept a potted plant alive over last winter with the ice storms and the freezing temperatures?
Yeah, and it's very lush, and it grew like half a foot this year and bloomed. It's a very good location where it is right now.
But you're not going to be around for a year.
3 months.
And obviously in a pot, you can't trust people to water it or take care of it or anything like that.
Yeah.
Now, do you have any outside space of any kind? It sounds like maybe you just have like a walled backyard in a city.
In my backyard, I have about 20 by 40,
mm-hmm.
So it's a nice protected, but it is a lot, and it's nice and open.
Oh, okay. And it's not concreted over or anything like that?
It's gravel.
Okay.
So I can't really plant it in the ground.
If you can't plant them in your ground, mm-hmm. and if you don't have any other ground to plant them into, I would give them away and suggest that unless somebody has the exact same situation as you with kind of a walled garden and mm-hmm. real good protection and they're good with plants and they don't have like short-term memory loss so that they won't, you know, 3 months later remember, oh, yeah, what about that lilac? I would urge you to give it to someone who can plant it in the ground. The lilac, I gotta think, would be much happier with its roots in the soil in an open spot in full sun.
Okay.
And not in a protected area at all. The lilac is not a tender plant.
Okay.
And the more sun it gets, the more blooms it's going to produce. The pomegranate definitely needs to be in a protected area, but still as much sun as possible. You get fruits off of it?
Actually, this is our first year together. I bought her in the fall of last year. She did do little blooms, maybe a quarter size little fruits, but then those fell off. We haven't produced yet. It hasn't adapted, I'm going to assume, and it hasn't produced anything of, you know.
No, you can't. No, that's perfectly normal. I mean, that tree is doing great. You mean it was outside as well and didn't die?
Yeah, no. It's fine.
Remarkable.
I have a great backyard.
Yeah, that. Apparently so. I've changed my advice completely. Just stay home. Forget about this trip. Whatever, you know.
Forget about travel.
Yeah, these plants need you. No, it takes fruit trees several years to get to bearing stage. And, you know, pomegranates, I know very little about, but they probably do need some pruning and some thinning mm-hmm. and some care. But certainly, if it survived winter and flowered for you, it's a mitzvah. So, yeah, I would give them to somebody, and especially that lilac wants to be out in the open in full sun.
Okay. And the pomegranate, should I try to get them in the ground, or
yeah.
should I keep it tropical?
You know, if it survived outside in a pot in your yard in a similar situation in the ground, it would survive better.
Okay. And because I don't think everybody has the low wind protected area as I do, so.
Well, that the pomegranate needs that. The lilac can go anywhere it gets full sun.
Okay.
All
very
right.
Good. Thank you so very much.
All right. Enjoy your travels.
Thank you. Thank you for your advice.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
1-888-346-9499. Steve, welcome to You Bet Your Garden.
Hi. How are you, Mike?
I am doing just fine, sir. How are you today, Steve?
Excellent.
And where is Steve excellent?
I am in Finesville, New Jersey. Everything is fine in Finesville.
And you know I don't know where it is. Nobody knows where it is, right?
We are on the Delaware River, halfway between Phillipsburg and Milford.
Kind of across the water from the New Hope area.
A bit further north.
All right. What can we do for Steve in Finesville?
Well, I've been listening to your show for the last few weeks, and it's obviously, you know, a lot, so I thought I'd throw this one at you. When I was a kid, we had in our backyard what I called a bee tree, and I grew up to find it was called a Rose of Sharon. Is that right?
Well, Rose of Sharon is a hardy hibiscus. Most hibiscus are tropical flowers that need to be inside over the winter. But Rose of Sharon is a hardy hibiscus that generally has huge flowers and, you know, dies over the winter but comes back every spring.
That sounds like it. So I got a couple of questions. I have a vineyard here, and we like to decorate, and it's a beautiful plant. So I was wondering, what is it like? Is it like sun? Is it like shade? Do you prune it like a tree? Do you prune it like a bush? I've seen all kinds of different things.
Now, I got to drop back. So what are you growing?
We grow wine grapes.
Yeah, what kind?
10 varieties. Oh, well, we've got 10 varieties. Chardonnay, Cabernet, Cabernet Franc, Malbec, Sangiovese, the usual suspects.
Very good. I had to ask you about wine. I'm a fool for the big reds from California and Australia. Uh-huh. So Rose of Sharon is like one of the easiest plants to grow. Doesn't need a good soil. Doesn't need a lot of attention. As with all flowering plants, especially plants with big flowers, the more sun it gets, the more flowers you're going to get. Because it's genetically related to these real tropical plants, this thing can take full sun. It doesn't need to be protected late in the day or anything like that. And, I mean, if you follow the same practices as California and Australia, I would imagine, and people who don't know wine grape growing are going to think I'm crazy, but I would imagine that you try to keep your soil from being overly nutritious.
Yeah, wine grapes will grow in just about anything, and mostly if we need anything, it's micronutrients, so we do that through foliar.
Right. I can remember one place in California that actually grew cover crops between the rows of vines to suck nutrients out of the soil so the grapes wouldn't get too big and lose flavor.
Mm-hmm. That sounds about right.
So, except for the timing of pruning, your Rose of Sharon is like the same needs as your Chardonnay. It wants a well-drained soil. It wants a lot of sun and airflow. It does not want an overly nutritious soil. And you doesn't have to prune it, but if you want to clean it up in the spring after it's been growing for a few weeks, just like a true rose, you're more than welcome to.
Now, my question is about shape. When I was a kid, the tree that I'm referring to had a trunk. Maybe it was 3 feet high. Maybe it was, I don't know, 2 or 3 inches around. But what I see around here is that they are done like bushes, where they kind of just go straight up out of the ground and numerous leaves. So does it prefer one or the other?
You know, Rose of Sharon, the hardy hibiscus, is a basic plant, but there are many forms from that. You can grow a, quote, tree form. You can grow a more shrubby form.
Where do I get one of these?
You should be able to get them at your nearest independent nursery in the spring. Maybe if you stop by now and tell them you're interested, they'll tell you, and they'll tell you what they generally have in and available. Maybe they'll have pictures in a book or something like that.
Okay.
But with the kind of space you must have to have a winery, I would encourage you to plant all the different forms and colors and experiment and see what you like best and then, you know, specialize in those.
Okay, great. I have a good nursery nearby. I can give them a call.
Yeah, they're certainly real attention getters. They're not expensive. They're very low care. And surprisingly, I guess this is just your basic instincts, their planting needs are exactly the same as wine grapes.
Beautiful. Couldn't do better.
You couldn't. All right, Steve.
Mike, well, that's great.
All right.
I really appreciate it. Thanks for taking the call.
Raise a glass of the harvest to me.
All right. Well, you come on up, and we'll give you a free tasting.
When's the Nouveau?
No, we don't do Nouveau.
You don't do Nouveau? Well, then I'll come up and see you in 6 months.
All right, Mike. Bye-bye.
Take care, man. All right. As promised, it's time for the question of the week. Topping. Is it ever okay to cut the tip off of a tree? Alexis Landis, producer of You Bet Your Garden, get us started with this week's question, s'il vous plaît.
Well, devoted listener Linda in Montour County, PA writes, I love the show's fascinating phone calls, and a recent one about cutting the tops off of trees made me wonder about our pruning for view preservation. We live on a hilltop overlooking the Susquehanna River amid 17 acres of mature, deciduous trees. We do top some of these trees every few years to keep our view, but are now questioning this practice. What do you think about our situation? Is there a best way to do this? I've only heard you warn against the so-called topping of trees, so if I had to guess, I'd say that you're about to tell them to stop.
Well, it just so happens that an article in the recent issue of Cosmopolitan magazine says that men shouldn't be predictable. So I'm going to follow that advice and say that if it's done correctly and at the right time of year, it should be fine, perhaps even beneficial.
Wait, you read Cosmo?
Well, it was the only magazine I could find the last time I got my hair cut. Well, not the only magazine, but I blew through the latest issue of Highlights for Children pretty fast. You know they're still doing Goofus and Gallant?
Let's get back to the timber toes, shall we?
Anyway, cutting the top off of an evergreen that comes to a point, like a blue spruce, Fraser fir, or other Christmas tree type, is always wrong. It destroys the basic structure and removes the part of the tree that's most actively growing. At best, that tree will look really ugly for the rest of its life. At worst, this can cause premature death of the tree.
So instead of having a tree that you found a little too tall, you now have the huge expense of having a dead tree removed.
Right, and if you continue to horticulturally flail and don't have the stump removed, you end up with a huge empty spot that you can't put a new tree into because there's a giant wooden plug in the ground.
But you're saying that deciduous trees, the ones that drop their leaves in the fall, can be safely topped.
Yes, and if you know you're going to be doing this to control the height of a tree, it's best to start when they're young. Actually, it would be better than best to plant dwarf varieties, or at the very least, make sure you plant trees that naturally develop several leaders.
You mean a tree with multiple trunks?
No. Leaders are the topmost branches up in the canopy. The best shade trees have lots of leaders up top, allowing them to spread out naturally. To shorten these kinds of trees, you just remove the tallest leading branches every season or two. Then the tallest branches that remain become your new leaders.
Haven't you talked about having to, quote, establish a new central leader for each of your peach trees every year?
Yes, and that's exactly what we're talking about doing here with landscape trees, essentially what I do to try and keep my peaches at a workable height. When you prune, and with peaches and apples, you gotta prune every year to get high-quality fruit, it just makes sense to begin by removing the highest branches. That way you can keep as many of the fruits as possible within easy reach.
Low-hanging fruit.
Yep. That's exactly what that expression means. And 10 years of peachy pruning has taught me that establishing new central leaders every season induces the trees to grow outward as opposed to up, which for me means trees that are much easier to care for and pick. And for non-fruiting trees, it means more cooling shade over a wider area. And if pest problems like tent caterpillars should arise, they'll be much easier to reach.
So, can people start training their trees now?
Absolutely not. This is the worst time of year to trim healthy branches. Trees and other perennial plants are trying to go dormant in the fall, and pruning stimulates growth. Forcing that new growth steals energy from the roots and makes the trees very vulnerable to winter injury. In no way can it possibly be good for them.
So, when should they be pruned?
especially with this kind of pruning, where you want to be able to look at the absolute bare bones of the tree to make the best choices, the ideal time is the dead of winter. Without their leaves, the trees are a blank canvas, and dormant pruning in the winter doesn't stimulate growth. Now, if it's a flowering tree like my peaches or an ornamental cherry, you can wait until it's in full flower or right after, but the dead of winter is always going to be the best time.
It's also when you'd want to do work like this the least.
Ha! Yeah, and that's almost a firm rule of gardening. If it's a good time for you, it's probably a wretched time for the plants. If the timing for you is a big pain in the tuchus, it's probably the right time. Well, that sure was an interesting look at how to have slightly smaller and not dead trees now, wasn't it? Luckily for you, the question of the week appears in print at the Gardens Alive website. To read it over in detail, just click the link for the question of the week at our website, youbetyourgarden.org. Gardens Alive supports the You Bet Your Garden question of the week. Yikes, my producer is threatening to top my topiary if I don't get out of this studio. We must be out of time. But you can call us anytime at 1-888-346-9499 or send us your email, you're tired, you're poor, your wretched refuse teeming towards our garden shore at garden@whyy.org.
Please, please tell us where you live. Please, please include your location. Oh, please.
And visit our website, youbetyourgarden.org. where you'll find answers to all your garden questions, audio of this show, past shows, and our podcast. Elizabeth Perez Luna is executive producer of audio content for WHYY. Ken Queter plays our theme song. Our engineer is Al Banks. Rich Banowitz and Sarah Kazar are You Bet Your Garden's web page wonders. Our social media director is Amanda McGrath. Check out her fine work at the always new You Bet Your Garden Facebook page. Our editor is Al Banks. Previously topped, Alexis Landis produces You Bet Your Garden for WHYY-FM in Philadelphia. Well-pruned Peter Christian is our ace production assistant. Our hired hand, Matt Hudecki, well, he could use a little trim. I'm still the incredible shrinking man, Mike McGrath. I'm serious, you really got to keep that cat out of the house if you hope to see me next week. Hey, hey. Who left the door open? Ow! Nice kitty! Nice kitty! Look, look, look over there! A squirrel! A squirrel! They're even more evil than you! Competition! Hey, hey, you guys, down here! Look down here! It's stupid, senseless, and as ugly as the dog's breakfast. I'm Mike McGrath, and on the next thrilling episode of You Bet Your Garden, we'll try and turn the tide against the deadly practice of mounding mulch up onto innocent trees. Plus your fabulous phone calls.